Has loan interest ever confused you? Have you been unsure about how it's calculated? Is it simple interest? Is it compound interest? Is it being amortized? When does it compound? Good news. All these questions are going to be answered in this podcast today. We're talking how interest works for high cash value life insurance. Really, it's for cash value life insurance in general. So I appreciate you joining us. Welcome. This is the Life Insurance Financial Education Podcast, where we're pulling back the curtain on high cash value life insurance and how it can help you build wealth and achieve your financial goals. I'm your host, James Barber, your Oregon cash flow pro.
And my name is Carlo Vaquero with NetWealth Finance.
So interest, basically, I want to get it out of the way because there's a lot of misinformation when it comes to interest, not just in the life insurance space, but in general. Nearly every single loan that people will encounter is going to be calculated based on simple interest. What happens if you don't pay the interest is it will compound. But a lot of times we hear people talk about simple interest and the opposite of that is portrayed as amortized interest. Because usually people are talking about mortgages and somebody's making a pitch to try and save some money on mortgages by paying it down more quickly or use some other method like velocity banking. Interest is not amortized. Principal is amortized when it comes to mortgages. So the opposite of simple interest is not amortized interest because there's no such thing. Opposite of simple interest is compound interest. Essentially, anytime you don't pay your interest, it's going to compound. And that works the same in high cash value life insurance, just the same as it would in anything else. Except in most everything else, you're usually required to pay the interest.
That is one of the beauties of cash value life insurance. And in many ways, you can treat it as an interest-only loan, but being able to just not even do that and let the balance stay there, not service any of the interest for a period of time if you need to, that is a huge benefit that you don't see in many other places and can be a pretty long grace period between when that interest might compound. And I don't know of another product that really gives you that ability to do it for that amount of time.
And the reason for that is because the life insurance company is in a unique situation. They know that at some point, they're on the hook for a very large death benefit on you. And as of yet, nobody's figured out a way not to die. So at some point, you're going to die and they have to pay you a big chunk of money. Well, they know if you have an outstanding loan, they can just deduct that from the amount that they have to pay out as a death benefit. So it works out good for them, knowing that, hey, we've got this obligation in the future that if you don't ever pay the loan interest, eventually we're going to get it. And the balance in this loan that you've taken and the loan interest that is accruing is always covered by the cash value that you've built up in that policy that the insurance company is sitting on in reserves. So there's really no risk to the insurance company to make you pay any minimum payments, to make you pay any interest if you don't want to or can't.
And to them, it doesn't really matter whether or not you do or don't pay that interest. At some point, you will. But if it gets deducted from your death benefit, that'll happen, and that's fine for them. But also, generally speaking, they're going to charge you, the insurance company. So when you pay interest on your loans to the insurance company, it's going to the insurance company. And they're going to be getting similar returns, maybe slightly higher, maybe slightly lower, depending on what kind of loan structure you have with that insurance carrier, similar returns to their general account. So that's kind of how these interest rates are set. And it also depends on the interest rate environment and what your contract says. But really, they're not making a ton of money off of that interest. It's just feeding back in to their general account to cover their obligations. So whether or not you pay it is kind of up to you. You should. We tend to want to have these loans being used for building cash flowing assets or investing in businesses and things like that. So you should certainly pay the interest at some point. But the flexibility and the advantages that you have with high cash value life insurance are really unmatched in how long you can go without interest compounding.
And I think most of these carriers are actually charging you less than what they're earning in their general fund. So realistically, it's all the other policyholders that are kind of subsidizing what you're doing with your loan if you're borrowing against it. Well, not really subsidizing it. The insurance companies just generally, they could make more money if you weren't borrowing it out. But by law, you're allowed to be able to borrow it out. And this would be funds that they would have set in those reserves. So it's not really that big of a deal. As a general statistic, it's like less than 10% of policyholders take loans out. So it doesn't really impact the bottom line that much.
Yes, and I think that there's a lot of people that are in this space that talk about just pay yourself back and all of that. Some of that language that's used in this infinite banking space is a little bit confusing. So I think that's why we wanted to focus in on this episode and say, really, this interest is being paid to the insurance company because you have a loan against your policy. I think that's the most accurate language of how to describe this. There's a loan against your policy that is effectively a lien on your death benefit. And that's why you pay interest to the insurance company and you pay the principal of that to sort of restore that death benefit or that portion of it. So that's kind of how it works structurally. And I think that's what makes it an extremely secure place where you can get favorable rates for borrowing. And it is a really good tool for building wealth elsewhere.
Yeah, the cash value that's inside your policy, the portion that's considered cash, is being collateralized. In this case, or in most cases, it's being collateralized by the insurance company so that your dollars are not actually coming out of the policy. It's why we can borrow against it tax-free. Well, you don't have to collateralize your policy with the insurance company. You could collateralize it with an outside company. It could be a bank. Could be a different type of lending institution. But there are places that will collateralize the cash value in your life insurance, not just the insurance company. Although from what I've found, in general, you get the best rates if the insurance company is the one that's collateralizing the loan. But there are certain situations that you might not want to do it with the insurance company. It could actually open up the opportunity for arbitrage within the policy to have that collateralized somewhere else. This was the case a few years ago when the interest rates were low. We don't see that these days, though.
In low interest rate environments, that's when you might see that ability to have arbitrage, possibly with a whole life policy, to have a little bit lower loan rate that you're paying a bank and with your insurance-based line of credit. That is a good tool if there is a really low interest rate environment that will allow for that. Current interest rates, not going to be advantageous to really do that. So really, right now, I have loans against each of my policies, and those are just directly with the insurance carriers.
I used to have my policies collateralized with an outside bank. In fact, I did it with two different banks during the low interest rate environment. I have whole life policies that I can borrow from the insurance company for 5.6%, but back when I collateralized them with the bank, I was able to get 3.25% interest rate. And my dividend rates were in the high 5% range. So we were able to get a little bit of arbitrage there. However, it was kind of a hassle to get things set up and changed over. Ultimately, probably worth it, especially if you have a large amount available inside your life insurance. So it's worth going through the hassle. But you got to be careful. Some of those companies require a lot of credit checks. Anytime you want to increase the balance on what's available, you might need a new credit check. Although there are some that just one credit check right at the beginning when you first start it and you've got a policy for life, but it is variable interest rate. So those rates can and do change. And in my case, when it changed, I just went back to the insurance company.
And that's a really good call out. The credit checks, what does that mean? Well, that means that those balances are being reported to the credit agencies. So that is another advantage of the life insurance. You know, comparatively, there's not really another asset that's like this. You know, if you have a HELOC against an investment property or a primary residence, those things are being reported to credit agencies. Your loans against your life insurance policies, they're not. These are just handled internally in-house. And so that can be an advantage for various things and various reasons why you might want to keep your utilization down of your credit. So that is something that is another thing to consider when you might explore. Even if it is an advantageous interest rate environment, sometimes you might still want to keep your loans with the life insurance company.
So none of the companies that I'm familiar with where we collateralize the policies with report to a credit agency anything about the actual loans. It's just a credit check. It's just a hard credit check that shows up on the credit. but they don't report the balances or how much they've loaned you.
Oh, well, that's a good point. So, I mean, I guess the if it's only the inquiry in the beginning, then that's not really much of a deal, I guess. But, you know, I guess comparatively with a HELOC, those are certainly being reported and various things like that. So whatever the case, it just tends to be that if you want to keep your whatever you're doing with your loans outside of anybody's view, then one way to do that is through these life insurance policies.
Yeah. So borrowing from your policy, whether it's from the insurance company itself or from an outside agency, a lot of times people like to get arbitrage. Arbitrage means we're earning more on the cash value that we've collateralized than we're paying to borrow from it. There are certain circumstances where you might be able to get some arbitrage. Non-direct recognition loans in the whole life space, participating index loans in the IUL space, both allow you to borrow from the insurance company without it affecting the growth in the policy, whether it's the dividend that you're going to receive from whole life or the growth in the index options in the IUL space. But direct recognition loans and fixed loans or wash loans in the IUL space, those can impact what you receive for credit, essentially assuring that you're not going to get arbitrage on those loans. And so I want to talk a little bit, or I want to at least mention that there are some people out there in this space that talk about arbitrage differently than how I just described it. In the case of actual arbitrage, if you're borrowing $10,000 and you're paying 5% interest on it, you're going to pay $500 in interest over the course of a year. To get arbitrage, you need to earn more than $500 on that same $10,000. I have seen some insurance agents or some content creators that like to make it seem like you're borrowing that $10,000, yeah, you're paying $500, but your whole policy has $50,000 in it, and the policy itself went up by $2,000 or $2,500. And so they make it seem like you're getting arbitrage because you only paid $500 in interest, but you made $2,500 inside the policy. And that is really misleading, and I think it's just flat out wrong when it comes to what arbitrage actually is.
Yes, and I mentioned this in a prior episode at one point, but my most recent annual credit for one of my IUL policies, I think it was around a 7 or 8% net credit or credit. And the funds that I had borrowed, I didn't have the whole policy borrowed out against, but I had paid a 5% for that loan. So if I earned 7%, then I had arbitrage of 2%. So that is just on the whole thing. So the whole net credit is applied to the whole balance, but it's not magic on if somebody has a loan against some portion and the other portion is still earning, both portions are earning. It's not arbitrage unless the borrowed funds, that's the part that matters. When you have the borrowed funds, if you're earning more than the rate that you're paying on those borrowed funds, that's what should be considered arbitrage.
And let's be clear. I don't think the biggest value in owning high cash value life insurance is the opportunity to earn arbitrage on those funds by borrowing from the insurance company or from another company. That's not the whole idea behind the infinite banking concept. The idea is when we need access to funds, we have it, whatever that cost is, and what we do with the money has a good opportunity to create that arbitrage. So even if we're paying a net cost to the insurance company to borrow, it was so easy to do, it didn't interrupt our growth and our compounding, and it doesn't show up on our credit report, but now we're able to go do these other investments that we can earn a greater amount. So if we earn 10% outside with those, if we earn 10% on an investment with those dollars that we borrowed from the insurance company, even if we have a 1% cost, net cost to the insurance company, we still have a 9% gain that we wouldn't have otherwise had if we hadn't taken the time ahead of time to set aside this money. Now, it's entirely possible you could have just set that money aside in a savings account, and when the investment opportunity came along, you earned that full 10%. You didn't lose any 1%. But the advantage of storing that money in the life insurance policy is that whole time you were waiting while it was building up, you were earning interest. So if you account for all that time while you were preparing to do the investment, That could be years. It could be a decade. You've got a ton more growth than if you had just left it sit in a checking or savings account.
That's exactly the advantage. It's that you have locking in compound interest gains, but never losing access. So when I compare this, you know, I have kept 401k loan open against my 401k for a bit because I just wanted to spread out the cost over time. But one, I have a limit of $50,000. That's not very much. I have access to, in my life insurance policies, to hundreds of thousands of dollars if I need to make a loan. And my intention is to have that be in the millions at some point in the life of my policy. So at some point, I will be able to make very large real estate investments and replace large finance instruments with my life insurance policies. So there's just not really stuff that you can do this with. And I think the biggest comparison would be a portfolio loan or a securities-based line of credit in a brokerage account. But due to the risk in those brokerage accounts, you're never going to have nearly the same percentage. Even if you're in super secure index ETFs or mutual funds, they're still probably going to top out at around 50% of asset value. I mean, maybe if you have a great relationship, you might be able to get better than that. Comparatively, in life insurance, I can borrow against 90, very close to 100%, like high 90% of the cash value of my policy. I can borrow that amount.
So let's make it clear how the loan interest actually works inside these policies. Some carriers will charge you the interest rate up front. Some carriers will charge it in arrears. In my mind, it doesn't really make much difference because each carrier is going to make sure that you have enough money throughout the course of the year to pay the interest. Like, you're not going to be able to borrow too much money that you can't pay the interest at the end of the year, or I should say a year anniversary date, because that's when the loan interest is going to be due. So for the companies that charge up front, they're going to make X amount available to you to borrow, and then they're going to set aside that interest because they're charging you that interest up front. And essentially what they're doing is just setting that aside. At your anniversary, they send you a bill for the interest. If you pay it, great. If you don't pay it, it just gets added to the loan balance. And then the next year, your interest is going to be calculated based on that new loan balance. If they charge you in arrears, they're just making less cash value available to you in your account. So it's not like they're making more money available to you because they're charging you in arrears than the company that charges you up front. They're just going to say, hey, we know that they're going to need this 5% interest at their anniversary date. So instead of them saying that you have $55,000 available in cash right now that you could borrow, they're going to say you have $50,000 available. And you could still borrow a high percentage of it. It doesn't end up making much difference. At least in my experience, I haven't seen the difference between charging in arrears and charging up front.
Yes. So that was actually a bit of my confusion at one point. In this space, you hear about annual simple interest, and it's a little bit confusing when it comes to life insurance. And I had some confusion on this when I first started learning about this concept. So when I think annual simple interest, I think if I take a loan, I'll have 1 year of interest at the annual percentage rate that they're charging. That's what to me sounds like annual simple interest. In life insurance, it's a little bit different. It's what it is your policy anniversary base. And it's still annual simple interest in the sense that you're charged the annual rate. So if you take a loan 90 days before your policy anniversary, and then 90 days of whatever that, so one quarter of the annual percentage rate, that's what's going to get charged at that policy anniversary. If you don't pay it, then you're going to have that amount tacked on to your loan balance. And then you'll have that new balance, and the interest, the annual percentage rate, will be based on that new balance, and you'll be charged that. And if you keep that loan going forward, it will continue to kind of accrue at that rate for that year.
So technically, it compounded because you didn't make the payment. And I didn't mention it, but let's be clear. All of the loans here are simple interest loans. So the life insurance companies offer simple interest loans, which means it's based on your average daily balance. Whatever you've borrowed out, they're going to calculate the loan interest that's due based on a simple interest calculation. And then at the anniversary date, you get billed for what you used during the prior year. And then if you don't make the payment, then it could potentially compound.
That's where your confusion came in, because you were thinking it might go a whole year and then compound, even though your anniversary date is somewhere in there.
Yes, and that's because I think really content creators in this space always reference annual simple interest. And if you think about annual simple interest in most terms, if I hear that, I'm thinking I have 1 year of simple interest from when I take a loan out. But I think that's one of the reasons why we're doing this episode, is to clear up things like that, is we recognize that that could be a little bit confusing. And so you don't have a guaranteed full year from when you first take that loan. I mean, if you continue to have an ongoing balance and you let it continue to compound each year, then in a sense it is simple interest for within that, between your policy anniversaries, and then it compounds at the end of that year if you don't pay that interest. So you should still plan to pay that interest. I think that is a thing that we all aim to do. But like, even right now for me, I know I have a bucket of money that's going to be coming in that I'll pay off some lump sums. I'm not servicing interest on my policies because it's just, I didn't have any reason to. It's not that much interest. I'm earning elsewhere better with my brokerage accounts and things like that. So it wasn't something that I cared to do. And I'll be paying off chunks of the loans rather than servicing the interest throughout the year. But it is a good practice, if you can pay off the loans or at least service that interest, to not have that compounding each year.
I think that pretty much covers this topic. Is there anything else that you can think of that we didn't cover?
I think that we covered a lot of different things here. Some of this stuff is a little bit in the weeds, so I could understand needing to listen again. And I know that there's a lot of folks that, like I said, don't talk about the mechanics of these loans. And I think that we are peeling back the curtain. This is pretty in the weeds, and I do recognize that. But it is important, because in all honesty, we as practitioners of this concept are wanting to take loans, and having that access, knowing how it works, is something that you should stay informed on.
Well, if there was anything that we didn't address in this that our listeners were hoping we would cover, reach out to us. Let us know. You can leave a comment on one of our YouTube videos. You can reach out via email, and you can go to our website and contact us if you're listening to this on a podcast and you had some things that we just didn't quite cover. Our goal is to be as comprehensive as possible, so that essentially if you come to this podcast, you're going to find the answers that you're looking for. And hopefully we're successful in that mission. Do you have a call to action for folks this week?
It's time for this week's call to action.
So if you are currently borrowing, maybe you're a real estate investor, assess what are the terms, figure out, you probably do understand what your terms are. And I've mentioned in prior episodes, 2 points is oftentimes what might be charged. But assess your loan costs. Would it be beneficial for you to incorporate something like cash value life insurance to replace some elements of your financing? Not just real estate investors, maybe you're a drop shipper or whatever, you have some inventory for your business, various things. Life insurance can be a fantastic tool, you know, and especially combined with a credit card where you might float a month of interest on the credit card and then pay out those balances. It's a really great tool. So assess what interest you're paying and figure out whether or not maybe this would be a good tool to add to your toolkit.
That was exactly along the lines I was thinking. I think a good call to action is for folks to figure out how much interest is going out the door to other institutions, and perhaps becoming your own bank may make a lot of sense once you realize how much cash is flowing out that door. Because essentially, we're going to recapture that by being our own bank. As Nelson Nash would say, everybody has two jobs, the job that they're in to earn a paycheck and the banker. You got to be your own banker. Everybody needs access to money for something. The question is, are you paying the interest or are you earning the interest? And with that, we're going to be back next week talking college savings and funding with cash value life insurance. I appreciate you guys joining us this week. My name is James Barber. I'm your Oregon Cash Flow Pro, and I'm licensed for life insurance and annuities across the country.
And my name is Carlo Vaquera. You can find me at netwellfinance.com or on YouTube at netwellfinance. And we'll work with life insurance clients across the country as well.
We'll see you next week.
Thanks for tuning in.